Hello, guten Tag. Thanks for coming. Well, we are not so many here today anyway. But the Freedom Boat goes on. This is Refugee Radio Network from Hamburg to the rest of the world. I'm here to explain what Refugee Radio is. I'm here to explain what Refugee Radio is actually, and our journey so far, what we've been able to achieve in the minimum of 12 months. So we start with this presentation.
Hier ist Stimmen der Flüchtlinge mit Larry für einen kritischen Blick auf aktuelle Flüchtlingsthemen und die größeren Zusammenhänge.
This is a free hour on your radio, Refugee Radio Network. Love freedom, love life.
Okay, welcome back to Refugee Radio Network. Well, once upon a time, public communication was like this. And I take it back. That's how, in my village, where I come from in Africa, that's the town crier, that's the FM station we have in those days. And in Europe, that's what you have. But modern communication has changed all that, so we've moved forward to present day. What is Refugee Radio Network? Well, that's the definition on the screen. Refugee Radio is radio for Flüchtling. It's a project that was designed in Hamburg for refugees all over the world. When we started in November last year, there was nothing. And we put it on ourselves to tell our own story in our own way in order to combat what we call mainstream disinformation to the public. Before Refugee Radio, we were engaged in different protest groups, the Lampedusa in Hamburg groups, the protests from different places in Berlin also, Lampedusa in Berlin. And we were shocked to find out that the populace that came to this protest didn't know much about what was happening in Africa. So it now brings me to the question, is there no internet here in Europe? They created it, they gave it to us. So why do they don't know? So we now sat together and we now said we must start educating the people. And how do you start educating the people? We started with theater, with the Lampedusans, a theater satire that we acted in Hamburg. We premiered it 3 times in order to start the educational process. After that, in October last year, I traveled to France. In my travels, it takes me across many regions, okay? We will still come to the story of how I came to Europe. And I found out that something was missing. The voices of the refugees themselves was not visible. And it's not as if there's no refugee struggles in Europe before I came. There was. But the system really suppressed these voices to come out. It's either if they are coming out, people don't listen to them. So we now said, okay, let's try our best. Let's create a radio platform to have our voice. We are activists, we are the refugees. So let's tell our story in our own way. So that's what Refugee Radio, how it started in October, November last year. And Network Hub, the first organization that we worked to was Verdi, the union, because Verdi is famous for supporting refugee causes in Hamburg. So we went to Verdi Social, we spoke to them about this idea, and Verdi suggested 3 names, FSK, TIDA Radio, and NDR. So we now penciled it down that FSK first, TIDA Radio second, then finally we walked to NDR. And that was what we did. Immediately at that meeting, we called FSK. And a man spoke, his name was Verna, and he spoke to us. We put it on a speak out phone and we said, "Hello, Verna, this is Larry, blah, 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 blah. I have this idea for Refugee Radio. Do you think it's good?" He said, "Yes." "Do you think we can do it?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay, let's do it." So that is how we started with FSK, our first support. Our first broadcast was on December 22nd, 2014, in the studios of FSK, live to the rest of the world. And we had calls coming in from Africa, from France, from the UK, from Libya, because we had to channel a lot of resources into networking with different groups. Before this, we went on Facebook. That's one thing many Europeans do not understand. They felt that because we are Flüchtling, we came from planet space. So in planet space that we came from, there is no internet. The Flüchtling must not use a smartphone. He doesn't even need to know anything about computer. So we now prove them wrong, start educating them again that, of course, from the planet that we came from, we have internet. We have computers. We were successful people, but something brought us here. So I will continue with that story as we progress. So we started from FSK. We did the first 2 hours broadcast live with telephone call-ins. Then the team, they've not done radio before. I have done radio before, so I know how it feels in Africa. But the team had not done it before. They were so skeptical. They were nervous. But as the program was projecting, as the program was going on, they now got into the radio broadcasting. They became comfortable, and they didn't want to stop. Exactly 2 hours, the show was over, which was the name of the show is Refugee Voices Show, The Freedom Boat. So everybody was happy. "Oh, yeah, we made it. Yeah." Then I walked up to Verna. I said, "Is it good?" He said, "Yes, super. Do you think we can continue it?" He said, "Yes." So that was how we started the journey. January, February, we approached TIDA Radio in Hamburg. And TIDA Radio said, "Okay, we've not listened to it." And I said, "You want to listen to it?" They said, "Yes."
TIDA is the open channel, as often I can add.
Okay.
It's just called
TIDA. So then they've not listened to our radio program. They don't know if it's good or not. I said, "Do you want to listen?" Right in the meeting, "Do you want to listen to it?" They said, "Yes." I played it for them right from our website. "Oh, you have a website?" I said, "Of course. From the planet we came, we had internet." So they were like, okay. They listened to it. They said, "Oh, it's good. But we cannot do 2 hours. We can only give you 58 minutes. I said, "No problem. It's good for me." Then we started with TIDA Radio, pre-recorded program, of course. So as time went on, we increased. It took us like 7 months. We went to Alex in Berlin. We've been discussing with Berlin Community Radio, which is an online radio platform with a huge followership. And we spoke to them. They said, "Yes, we can do it." We wrote to many radio stations. Maybe some of you saw our letters for cooperation. And a few sent us a reply. And some of the few are Alex, BCR, Radio Hanahot in Marburg, and the rest of the world. That is the Flüchtling team. That's myself, El Capitan. That's my radio name.
Could you go one step back? Yes. BCR is Berlin
Community Radio.
Mm. Okay. We will talk later.
Okay.
Marburg,
mm-hmm.
What do you do there?
The Refugee Voices Show, you can hear it on that radio.
Yeah, they are good, but unfortunately not here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the team. That's myself, the initial guys that founded the radio. That is Sammy, is the one in front there. That is Asuko. And they are members of Lampedusa in Hamburg. And that is Ruth, and that's our youngest journalist, and also Yali, who speaks many languages. So that is the composition of the Flüchtling team. So we were the first, in my opinion, because when I came, I didn't find anything. So we were the first grassroots radio sender in Germany to the rest of the world. We are not Funkhaus Europa, as you know. When we started, there was no refugee radio. But now we have a proliferation of many refugee radios now, Funkhaus Europa, NDB, NDR, whatever, doing what they know how to do best. So the world is free. Competition is good. It makes us more serious. When there is Coca-Cola, there is Pepsi. That is the slogan. So competition is fairly good. It's a case of David and Goliath. We are the small and they are the big. But you all know what happened to the story of David and Goliath. David prevailed over Goliath. So we rewind back to history now, 2011. Why did we come here? I was in my working space in Libya, where I had an engineering and construction company. I was doing very well. I was working with multinationals. Of course, I was politically involved in Nigeria against Islamist organization, what you now know as Boko Haram today. I left Nigeria in 2009 to 2010, and I decided to relocate to Libya because I've been frequent to Libya in the past. I started life there newly, invested a lot of money. Exactly 2011 March, the Arab Spring started and NATO got involved and the bombardment of Libya started. I name it there Operation Odessa Dawn. That is the code name for the bombardment. And it was on that day at exactly 21 hours in Tripoli, 112 Tomahawk cruise missiles landed on my head in Tripoli. Thank God I am alive today. And many of those guys you saw earlier came from that war. We left after some few months. We left for Italy. That was exactly May 2011. 27th, I left Tripoli when everything was in chaos. That's the chaos you see. And this was after I left, actually, knowing what will happen. So I left in peace. There's a slogan, there's a proverb in my place that says, "He who runs away lives to fight another day." So I ran away to continue the struggle and the fight. So that is what I'm doing today.
In Tripoli, what was your little company?
Engineering and construction firm.
Yeah, what did you construct?
Houses.
Okay,
and at that time, to answer your question, Libya construction market was the largest in the world, superseding Dubai. And we had a projected target to reconstruct a new city within 10 years, and the money was there. It's not just me, but there was a multinational company's investment. All of a sudden, Mr. Gaddafi became the devil, and everybody wanted to get rid of him. So that is the after effect, those pictures you see, of what happened when Gaddafi was overthrown. Maybe you didn't see this on your picture, on your TV in Europe. Libya militia men rounding up black people because they said black people loved Gaddafi and they were supporting Gaddafi. So they started killing people in large numbers. Those who could not escape are now dead. So I embarked on that journey to Europe in 2011 May. 55,000 people came to Europe in 2011. You did not hear about that. Out of the 55,000 people, 1,000 people died. I'm sure you didn't hear about that in the news. From Lampedusa to Italy, then from Italy down to Germany. It took a span of 2.5 years to come to Hamburg and join the struggle of Lampedusa in Hamburg. So that's the story. We fast forward now to 2014. The mainstream media. the censorship and the deadly disinformation.
Briefe von den Stimmlosen ist ein Brief und ein Artikel, ein gelesenes Segment der Refugee Voice Show. Tödliche Desinformation. Der Krieg, die Mainstream-Medien und der tragische Tod afrikanischer Flüchtlinge. Ein Artikel von Julie Levesque, Journalistin und Forscherin am Center for Research on Globalization in Montreal. Der Artikel ist vom 6. Mai 2015. Die Quellen der Zitate sind der Redaktion bekannt und können dort erfragt werden. Doch nun der Artikel von Julie Levesque. Tödliche Desinformation. Medienunternehmen schreiben von ertrinkenden Flüchtlingen, fliehend vor Armut und Gewalt im Mittleren Osten und Nordafrika. Dabei lassen sie die Aktionen der USA und ihrer europäischen Verbündeten, die diese humanitäre Katastrophe verursacht haben, unerwähnt. Der tragische Tod von Hunderten von Flüchtlingen in der letzten Woche im Mittelmeer hat einmal mehr die tödliche Heuchelei der westlichen Regierungen und ihrer Mainstream-Presse ans Licht gebracht. Versäumnisse und Verzerrungen trennen das katastrophale Ereignis von seinen Wurzeln und verhindern damit, dass die Schuldigen öffentlich benannt werden. Waren die Opfer libysche Migranten, die, in Anführungszeichen, ein besseres Leben in Europa suchten? Oder Flüchtlinge, die eine Kriegszone verlassen, die von westlichen Kräften geschaffen und genährt wird? Die Art und Weise, wie die Geschichte erzählt wird und die dabei verwendete Wortwahl sind irreführend. Der dänische Wissenschaftler Jan Oberg erklärt, Zitat, in verschiedenen Medienreportagen und politischen Aussagen wird das Wort Flüchtling immer öfter durch Migrant ersetzt. Zitat Ende. Ein Migrant ist, laut den Vereinten Nationen, eine Person, die eine einträgliche Beschäftigung in einem Land sucht, dessen Staatsbürger sie nicht ist. Ein Flüchtling ist eine ganz andere Person, die sich außerhalb ihres Heimatlandes befindet, weil sie aufgrund von Hautfarbe, Religion, Nationalität oder politischer Meinung Verfolgung erlitt oder befürchtete, weil er oder sie Mitglied einer verfolgten sozialen Gruppe ist oder weil sie vor einem Krieg fliehen. Der Gebrauch des Wortes Migrant statt Flüchtling lenkt unsere Aufmerksamkeit also von der Frage ab, warum sie fliehen, und ebenso von unserer eigenen Mittäterschaft an all dem. Es reduziert unsere Verantwortung darauf, Flüchtlinge zu schützen. Noch einmal Jan Oberg, denn die meisten dieser Flüchtlinge kommen aus Kriegsgebieten, in denen militärische Interventionen und Waffenexporte ihren offiziellen Zweck kläglich verfehlt und nur noch mehr Probleme geschaffen haben. Wie bei so vielen anderen Problemlagen dieser Jahre gibt es eine psychopolitische Verleugnung der Tatsache, dass der westliche Militarismus der wichtigste Grund dieser Probleme ist. Zitat Ende. Johannes Stern und Bill van Auken fügen hinzu, die amerikanische Presse, geführt von der New York Times, schreibt von Flüchtlingen auf der Flucht vor Armut und Gewalt im Mittleren Osten und Nordafrika, ohne die Aktionen der USA und ihrer europäischen Verbündeten, die diese humanitäre Katastrophe verursacht haben, auch nur zu erwähnen.
I'm sorry, I have to cut that clip short. It's a 7-8 minutes clip. It's quite long. So, we started the Refugee Radio Network in Hamburg to stand for freedom, equality, and justice. Because there's a lot of discrimination that was going on. It's still there. For us, we say borders are everywhere, in the street corners, in the train station, in the administrative building, on the faces of nearly everybody. They look at us as if they stigmatize us with their looks, with their attitude, but we will not give up. Our luta continua, the struggle continues. How we started, the startup cost basically was like 1,500 that we brought together, my friends and myself. And we bought cheap equipment. We registered the online platform for online radio streaming and so on. Then we needed to go and look for the audience. And how do we do that? Through social media. Because as refugees ourselves, we knew the power of Facebook within the refugee community, that nearly every refugee is wired to Facebook to communicate with families and friends all over. So we tapped into that. Facebook, G+, Twitter, and so on and so forth. Then later on, we took it to the airwaves. And this is where all FSK came in. So that as we are, we have this approach to build a community around Refugee Radio. And this community is basically the Flüchtling and also the host community, Hamburg, Germany, and so on. So that's what we did. And we moved to cooperation. Then the media cooperation started, as I told you, with FSK, then later on to TIDA, Alex, Marburg, and Berlin Community Radio, for now. The outreach of the radio as we speak. The website clicks on a weekly basis erupt around 700 plus, if not more. At one point, we had a crash whereby 600 people were really logging in, and this was as a result of a report that was done in America. On the Facebook community followership, we have 1,800. And on the radio page, we have 1,140. These people that you see on that followership are centered around the Flüchtling community, refugees and also supporters, okay, and different groups. It's not just we paid money and we had a lot of Facebook followers. I don't do that. It took painstaking communication. Some people ask you back, who are you? Why we introduce the radio to them? Ah, okay, I like it. Spread the word. So that's the approach we followed. And Twitter, we have 321. On cloud technology, we are there on SoundCloud, Mixcloud, and Audio Boom to distribute our audio files. Then the outreach on mainstream media. As early as April, we were called up by Al Jazeera, The Stream, which is a social media program on Al Jazeera, viewed by almost 20 million people out of the 80 million Al Jazeera viewers. We've been a regular contributor on that program since then. As a result of that broadcast, which was discussion about the refugee situation, that was in April, before the explosion that you see now. So we spoke and we were able to receive feedbacks from across the world. Someone called from Australia, for instance, as a result of what they heard. They heard the broadcast on Al Jazeera and went directly to the radio website to get more information. So Al Jazeera has really done well for us. National Public Radio in America, early morning edition, about 12 million listeners, the second biggest radio show in America. That was done like two months ago. And I walked into my kitchen because I live with Flüchtlings. I live with Germans as my flatmates. And I met a lady and she was like, hello. I said, you sound like American, your tongue. He said, yes, I'm from Miami. I heard about your radio in Miami. I said, really? How come? Because I don't broadcast to Miami, you know what I mean? But she said, oh, we heard it on the National Public Radio. I have not even heard that program. And I said, wow. As a result of that broadcast, we received more than 120 messages, both by Facebook, Twitter, SMS, and telephone calls, and on WhatsApp. People wanting to contribute to what we are doing. People saying, thank you, we like it, and so on and so forth. We were also on The Takeaway, which is an early morning program months earlier, with about 28 million listeners. They did a report about refugee radio and the situation. This was at the time the situation had exploded. So we were there, we spoke to them, and we also got feedbacks from these radio stations. The Vatican was one of our founding radio supporters, because when we started Refugee Radio, I think we started in November. In January, we went on a trip to Italy, and the Vatican Radio was one of the first points of entry. All this is as a result of my experience in radio. I am what you call a radio junkie from when I was born, okay? I listened to radios, the Deutsche Welle, the BBCs, the VOAs, when I was a young kid in Africa. So I really followed a lot. There was no internet then, so we only had shortwave radio, which was accessible in Africa. So as a result of this interest and this network, I put it also into the radio also. So that's why I decided to take this refugee radio project to many mainstream media houses in order to be visible, because that is one of our founding foundations, the visibility of Flüchtling. Because before now, it was more or less like, it's not our problem, the Italians will deal with it, and so on and so forth. So the visibility that you see today is as a result of what we are doing and with the networks of free radios and so on. So we proceed forward to media coverage, as I've said, Al Jazeera, Vatican Radio, RAI in Italy, Deutsche Welle, NPR, Detector FM, Bayern Rundfunk, Südwestfunk, whatever, RAI Radio Heinz, Vequer, and NDR DAS, which was like now last week. I eventually gave in to NDR. Then
did you sit down on the red sofa?
It's gonna be. I brought them to FSK, as a matter of fact, yeah, to do their reporting. And of course, they made me angry because knowing mainstream media for who they are, they wanted to come and record what we're doing every time. Then I said, what are you doing? Do you think this is a joke? No. She said, no, it's good publicity for you. I said, I don't need your publicity. Where were you when I needed your publicity? None. Go and ask your bosses. Maybe they will tell you they remember us coming to your media house. So we also were on the Divelt, because we had to be visible. So we had to reach out. And really, most of these media houses reached out to us. I didn't just walk to Divelt and say, okay, I'm Refugee Radio, write a report about me. They heard about us and they contacted us from north to south to east to everywhere. So they were just writing reports. But I was, yes?
And how was the coverage actually? Because
which of the coverage?
The coverage, for instance, from Die Welt. Because isn't it the same problem that there's a mainstream media in Europe that is writing about something
against us, yeah? Okay, now let me explain to you. It's a guerrilla warfare that we are fighting here, and you use guerrilla tactics to fight it. Our radio is guerrilla radio, okay? The mainstream media were not portraying us positively. Do I keep quiet about it? No. I attack them physically, directly, you know? And they now saw the attack and started reaching out. Okay, we agree, we were not reporting positively. How can we do it? So you want me to shut the doors on them? That's not good publicity. That's not education. You have to reach out to them also. Like I told you, it's an educational process between the Flüchtling and also the community. So the media houses are the community also. So we need to engage with them in order to change the story. Some of them have changed. Some of them are still using it as a media stunt, as a publicity stunt. Leave them, let them continue. Eventually, they will wake up and face the reality. Every day, thousands of people are marching into Europe. They think it's a joke. When we told them 2 years ago, they said, this guy must be crazy. He must be an extremist talking about these ideas. In 2013, when the tragedies happened in Lampedusa, that became public, when almost 800 people drowned in Lampedusa, when the Pope went there, we had meetings with different governmental organizations, EU, we were telling them that people are still going to come in large numbers. These are the steps you must take in order to control this influx of people. They said, Your ideas are too extreme for us. So those extreme ideas has exploded into the Flüchtling bubble that you see today. So did I answer your question? Or you want to?
Yeah, the last part.
Okay.
The question was mostly facing how the coverage of the...
So it's high time I reach out to them with my olive branch. That this is it. take it now or you leave it, then we go back to fighting each other. Some of them have been changing with reports coming out now, and some are still adamant. And let me explain most of these interviews that you see. The person you see sitting down here, I'm not praising myself. I'm a mixture of Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Mandela in between all. So no Western person can come to me and tell me nonsense that I know it's nonsense, that I will not tell them, you're talking nonsense. I am not afraid of anybody. Not anybody. So when they come, they find it, we discuss for 3 hours sometimes. At the site, we were there for 4 hours with the old editorial board. It was like an interrogation session. They were asking questions from their own point of view, and I was answering from the reality. At the end of the day, whether they agree or not, that's good luck to them. But we continue what we are doing. So we had to reach out to the media also in order to say, okay, we know this is what you're doing. This is your game. Time up, change. So that's what we did with all this media frenzy that you see. Social cooperation, which was very, very important in this sphere. We had to engage with different social projects in Hamburg. Camp Nagel International Cultural Fabric is one of them, which is entertainment in the arts field. First, this was an organization that stood up for the rights of refugees. And that is why we engaged with them. They were prosecuted and sent. They are even facing criminal courts for an action they took last year. Okay? They were one of the first to have the refugees welcome in Camp Nagel. They hosted refugees in the winter period, you know, with the Eco Favela shelter for a period of 4 months. But right-wing extremists took Camp Nagel and Emily Dauflat to court for doing that. Today, the story has changed. Today, the Hamburg government is now calling her for help. How can we help? What can you do? So for us, they were one of the first to stand up. They allowed us an information desk at their event in order to be visible. That is one of the big ones in Hamburg. So we were there with an information desk whereby we introduce the refugee radio to. We report from their life. So as time goes on, they saw how we were doing this project, how it was okay. So they now invited us to be media partners in different events there. And we are still with them continuously until next year. We were also with the Get Up, Stand Up workshops with school students. For me, the young people are very, very important in this fight. They are the future of tomorrow. So I really, and they are different in the mindset. So I really welcome engaging with young people. And if you see these discussions, you will know that these young kids of 14, 15, 16, up to like 25, they know what's going on. I've seen them, high school students, attack public officers in my right before me. So we engage with them. And we also engage with some political organization. Project for Democratic Union is one of them. We had a discussion in Munich about the Europe, the Promised Land. This was like in May, I think. We also have arts project that we are cooperating with. I only mentioned a few here. And we were at the Open Border Congress just some few weeks ago in Munich, organized by the Münchener Kammerspiel, which was a big congress in my opinion. And today we are here with the Confederation, with the Federation of Free Radio Stations in Germany. So that is how we try to engage with different social corporations, you know, to try to be visible and also to ask for help. Because it's not just being visible, it's also how we can cooperate, how we can spread the message. And this message is a message of peace, freedom, equality, and justice, nothing more. I don't ask for money because I had money before I came here, so I'm not really into that. But what we are doing is because we are being victimized. We are being stereotyped. That's why we put these shoes on to fight it. And we thank you, civil society, for supporting us. We are marching on, like I said. That is the Refugee Voices show, the Freedom Boat, the poster.
Hello.
That's
Hi.
Our young journalist.
Bye-bye.
That's Diamond. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to Refugee Radio Story. If you have any questions, you're free to ask me. And now entertain your questions. FSK for me, when they say free radio, this word free radio, I think FSK is the freest radio I've ever walked into in my life. No bureaucracy, straight on. What can you do? And that's my approach. If you come to me when I had my company, you come to me with your fantastic CV. I say, congratulations, my friend. Show me what you can do. That's my approach. And that's the same approach that FSK, when I walked up to them. So we will do it. Let's do it. There's no control. There's no bureaucracy. You mustn't fill any form of... Unlike TIDA Radio, which is much more bureaucratic, you must follow the... Sometimes I look at them, I say, what's wrong with these people? Do they think they are BBC? But of course, we follow the way. Alex is the same. So for me, FSK is a free space to express your freedom of expression. Without prejudice. I am a living witness of the approach there. They have been supportive. Not financially, but they have been supportive. Without FSK, I can tell you, this might not have been successful. Okay? So that's the answer to that. Yeah.
One question. You're talking about corporations with other radio stations.
Yes. We are
going to broadcast your show?
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I do. Because my show takes me to different places that you might not reach. For instance, I'm planning to go to Calais. I've been there twice. I'm planning to go there and stay with the refugees there for 2 weeks or more. Live with them, eat with them, bring stories from there. And doing that is as a result of also educating them, empowering them with the tools of information, telling them that if you do not voice out, you will die in silence. So going to them is also providing them the opportunity to come out. We've seen a lot of video clips pop up on YouTube, living conditions in Calais, blah, 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 blah. Yes, because we are narrow-minded. We never believe the Flüchtling can create something. So in my broadcast, in her radio project, it's a mixture of positive and negative, okay? But the positive aspect is much more higher than the negative aspect because I don't tell the same story BBC and DR is telling, you know? So I approach young refugees who are artists. For instance, I was interviewing a refugee who was a choreographer, a dancer. And I asked him, why are you doing this? He said, you know, I don't need a visa to dance. I was like, wow, that's a strong word. Because this visa, these control policies that Europe is surrounded around, which is falling apart now, is not humane. You know, it's not humane. We need to really change our approach. You know, that doesn't mean open your doors for everybody because your doors are already knocked down. People, everybody is coming in now. So why don't you just leave the doors open and approach people as they come? You know how many people were living with my family when I was a kid in Nigeria? A lot. Most of them are not my blood relations. They were just people who came from the village to Lagos. It's difficult. My fathers, my mom opened the doors for them. And they are like my brothers, my uncles today. That's the same approach I practice in my life. It's not everybody that you'll be scared of. You know, you don't know who's going to help you tomorrow. That's what where the West has failed to realize. I think maybe now they will wake up now to the reality. So when I mean cooperation is basically not money, it's producing, because now we are producing the Refugee Voices show as a national magazine show to be broadcast nationally in Germany and beyond. So, for instance, if I produce this show and I want radio stations in Munich, for instance, to play this 60 Minutes magazine show, what's wrong in that? You're enhancing freedom of expression. That will also embolden the refugees here to like rise up. We want to do something. I had that cooperation with BR, Zundfunk 2, some few months ago up until now. And that cooperation was to have a Flüchtling program. At that time, I asked them some critical questions. Is the program, is it going to be broadcast live on FM frequency? No. Where is it going to be? We will find a way. Maybe you can help us with your outreach. I said, no problem. Yes, but we have a problem talking to the Flüchtling. We've been talking to them for months. They don't want to do it. Then I went into this refugee center in Munich, and I met a couple of 7 people from Africa, Afghanistan, and so on, Syria. And I explained to them. And they were ready for me. They were just asking questions. Why are you doing this? Do you get money from it? Blah, 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 blah. Then I looked at them. One by one, I answered their question. I said, my friend, if you want to do it because of money, you can leave now. But if you want to do it for something that is more bigger than money, you can sit down and let's do it together. Do you know why we must do this in Bavaria? This is the Deep South. It's hostile territory when it comes to right-wing extremist views about Flüchtlinge or something like that. They didn't understand what I was saying. Then I said, these people don't like me and you. You want to keep quiet about it? They said, no. Good. So how do I act? It's by having a voice, radio, music, theater, everywhere you can get to them and change. This was before the mass influx of people, you know, into Munich. And if, as a matter of fact, they now said, okay, from what you are saying, I think we should do this. Then I give them a microphone. I give one my camera. You become my photojournalist. You become the reporter. And that was how these guys showed interest. And I think 2 months ago, they had the first program on radio. Of course, it was heavily scripted. And I was so hungry about that. Coming back after 1 month, I found out that the idea had changed. BR was now ready to broadcast them on FM. Why? Because of Funkhaus Europa. Mainstream has jumped on it. Then I laughed. Then I said, then they gave them scripts that was so difficult for these guys to read also. Then I asked, why is it heavily scripted? This guy is from Syria. He's finding it difficult to read English straight. And you're forcing him to do it again and do it again and do it. Why don't you just let this guy talk to me like he's my friend? We are in my kitchen and let's have a good conversation. And the guy said, no, that's not the engineer, so-called. Oh, that's not how we do it here. Then they were there for 1 hour, 2 hours. Then when the guy left, I said, Amin, talk to me like you are talking to me normal and let's do this interview because I want to go home. And the guy spoke to me like we're chatting like this. And we got a very good audio conversation out. So it's not everything you do with quality. Quality, quality, quality. When you emphasize too much on quality and leave the natural thing, then what you're doing does not have, in my opinion, an impact. So that program is running, but I am moving away from them because it's not my type of grassroots advocacy. It's much more too bureaucratic, too scripted. I don't want such. And they seem to be very confused, the BR. So let's leave them to that idea. So that is it. So, yeah. The lady first. Of course. Like I said, initially there were three of us. Now we are eight. Forget that I showed you a picture of you. We have Moaz, a Syrian boy that now just joined us. He wants to study informatics. I brought him to the studio, interviewed him in the live program in FSK. And I asked him, okay, now that you are in Europe, what do you want to do with your life? You're a 21-year-old kid, so what do you want to do? He said, I want to study informatics. I want to be this. I said, okay, start from Refugee Radio now. Start practicing with your informatics. That's what I can do, life on air. So people, we have volunteering partners all over the place in refugee camps. I think the only places I've not been able to touch now is this Greece, Lesbos, But when it goes to the jungle in Morocco, we have people there. In Libya, we have. In Italy, there's a lot. In Lebanon, we have. In Jordan, we have people who contribute. In Dadaab refugee camp in Kenya, we have. So ours is centered. That's why I said those people you see on Refugee Radio Facebook are not just invisible likes. There are people we interact with every time. You know, so volunteering partners from all across the board. Okay. Oui?
I'm going to use this because it's we are recording it. Okay. And I have much more something to tell you than a direct question. I'm from Radio Korax in Halle.
Yeah.
And we just applied at, I don't know, some organization for a refugee program.
Mm-hmm.
And then that they will finance it for us, because we as the radio, we decided that we like to open the radio for refugees. But the problem in Halle, and I guess in many other cities, is that the refugees are living not in the inner city, in the near of the radio. They are living at the border of the city or even more far away. So it is also hard to get to them, and that the refugees can get to the radio to make their own show. So we applied for a project. We hope that it will run next year, and we met with some activists from like a supporting group, and the program will be about some workshops, how to do radio by yourselves, and we also applied for some money to get the transport costs covered. And then what the people living near Halle, the refugees, told us what they really need in a morning show is a German course. They questioned for that, like German lessons, and also something about changes in the law, like a law school in the radio as a short radio piece. And this is what we were applying for to do next year, and also that to develop also their own show. So that's, maybe we can keep in contact for that, to ask you about your network, what you have, and about your experience you made the last year when we start the project in Halle. And maybe somehow there can be some working together.
No problem. We try our best to work with different organizations. But when you want to start using us, then we will just walk away. There's nothing that stops us from doing that. I am a refugee, like I tell you. So maybe that's my advantage. I approach them as a refugee also. So I don't approach them as a fantastic media house. So you have to look for a way around it. Can you go and live with refugees in a refugee camp? No, I guess not. So find a way around that. Of course, you find a lot of Syrians now who will talk to you a lot now. So you can start that. But that's also the deadly disinformation between a good refugee and a bad refugee. The Syrian refugees in the European mindset are the best refugees, and the ones from sub-Saharan Africa are the bad, negative refugee. We see how that plays out. We shall see. It's a matter of time. Okay? So we encourage you guys to do more, but try to find a humane approach to succeeding, because if you do it the way we think, it will not work. We've seen a lot of videos who have been there before. They didn't work. It didn't work. So try to fashion out a nice structure to bring in the refugees in. And step by step, you build something. Okay? And don't give them the impression that you are their savior.
Of course not. It's not that we as the radio people, people are going to them. It's more like...
You are a white person. You are walking to them. So they look at you already as Jesus Christ. So it's you who will tell them, first of all, we are not Jesus Christ. We are just trying to help you. If you do that, you will succeed. But if you go with the approach of no problem, everything will be okay, then when the disappointment comes, they hate you more.
Yeah. Okay? I just wanted to get to that point. I'm in touch with the refugee problem now for 18 years through my wife, who is working all over the world in such camps. And when we came to Potsdam, I decided to start to do a little bit something. And then I went to see people who are doing this kind of work, not in radio, but for internet cafes. It's an organization called Refugee Emancipation.
I know that.
So. And we had several talks. It was very interesting because they had this attitude, what you said, what is this white guy telling us here? He wants to cooperate with us, and we don't, neither do we need him, nor do we want, really. He shall, they said, bring us this, bring us this, bring us this, but we want to do what we want to do. And I said, here is our radio, just come along, yeah? And they came along now after 1.5 years. So that's the time to overcome distrust. And still now, I think I would tell them now, work with you. That is better. That is the better way to come back here to our structure. And simply because you start with Facebook, because you do online radio, and we are such little local radios, and we are happy to be little local radios. We are doing wonderful little local radios, and we are very effective on that local level. So FSK is a wonderful example. This is what we want to be. And it's good, and it's enough, and when we find the solution for Halle or for Potsdam, that is already fine. Why should we do what you are doing? We should just cooperate. That's all. And then find forms, creative forms that bring us further, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, good.
The approach is, don't do it for them. Let them do it themselves.
Yeah.
Help them with the tools.
Yeah, that's
all about the tools. Yeah, I understand it. That's what I told BR. Because when I met them the first time, I saw that they wanted to do for them. And I told them, I have it on tape. Even the democratic process we did in the workshops. I stopped them from voting. They are not refugees, so they are not eligible to vote. They are just supporters. So let the refugee vote on what name they want to call their program. Let them vote on the approach they want to use. Let them vote on content. And we did that. I have evidence. I came back months later, it changed. But I don't need to argue with them. They are like that. They don't want to change. So I leave them. So don't create the impression of doing it for the refugee or doing it for them. Let them do it for themselves. One disappointment that I find here, coming to this Congress, Okay, it's a Congress of Free Radios. I do know that there has been visible some African radio, Latino radio, and so on and so forth, that has been for the many years in Germany, online and through local medium. But I didn't see anyone here today. So that means the Federation should do more. The Federation should reach out more. If not for Verona, I've heard about this Federation from the beginning when we started. I did a lot of research, so I found it there. But I looked at them as a bureaucratic stuff, so I just didn't approach them. So now I have the opportunity to be here. It's good for me, and it's also good for you to know what I do, what we do. So it will be better for the Federation to reach out more through these kinds of meetings, workshops, and quarterly, maybe 3 times in a year. I'm sure they could get money for that. And if we don't get money, we will donate money ourselves. If it's to put 20 euros, 20 euros, 10 euros, 5 euros. It's what you are doing that it matters, not the approach. If it's really from your heart that you want to, you like what the founder of Free Radio, one of them, said yesterday. It's an opportunity to give the handicapped, the underprivileged, the less privileged, the opportunity to come out without prejudice. So if you believe in what, if I tell you resources that Refugee Radio has taken from me, personal and relationship resources, it's quite a lot. But I believe in what I'm doing. And it's not, I didn't pray for Refugee Radio to be here for the next 10 years. But the little time that we are here, we want to impact on refugee life. We want to impact on the community. And we have been able to do that. So that is enough, is good enough for me. It was affecting my relationship. And I had to invite my girlfriend to come from the UK to come and see what I'm doing here. When she lived here for 2 weeks and saw what's going on, she was like, I did not know it's like this. So education is very, very important. To chip in on a story, when I was on Al Jazeera stream the second time, this was around August. It was about the Calais, the situation in Calais in France. My mom and my friend's cousins, they live in the UK and America. And they saw that I was attacking the politicians and I was on a strong footing defending my own constituency, which is the refugees. And they asked me what is my solution. I said, my solution is, first of all, open the doors. If you do not open the doors, you are imprisoning yourself from the outsider. And the outsider is breaking down your doors, breaking down your fences. So what do? Just open the doors and start talking with them. Immediately after that show, the first call that came from my mom. What are you saying? They should open the doors for who? I said, what? You're saying nonsense on the TV. And I said, then I asked her, I said, Mom, why are you changing like this? It's not changing. Open the doors for these people to come and blow everywhere up. I said, how many have they blown since they've been coming? Then I now gave her an example of when we were young, how many people were living with her that was not her children. They were more than 30. That she didn't know, they have no biological contact with. I said, when they came to your door, why didn't you close the door and drove them away? Then she paused for 5 minutes. Ah, it's not the same. I said, it's exactly the same. Go and think about it. 3 weeks later, everything exploded. They now called me back. Actually, you are right. That was when the little kid, the dead body of the little boy in Turkey, they now say, actually, you are right. We need to do something about this. So you see, civil society goes to sleep for a very long time. But when it wakes up and asks for a lot of things. So those of us that have stood up, the gentleman that has been doing it for many years, don't give up. You just need to continue from where it's lapsing, cooperation, engaging more. And I think we will get there. Any more questions? I think you guys are from Radio Laura. Yeah?
Yes,
Loro. Loro, okay. Okay. from Warsaw, in Munich. Okay. North of Germany?
In the north of Germany.
Ah, okay. There's no radio from Munich here? Well, it would be nice to reach out more to most of the free radios in Munich. The more we have refugee programs, the better.
Because when you were in Munich at the Kammerspiele recently,
yeah.
What was your concept there? I guess you didn't do a pre-recorded show there. Can you tell us a bit more about this very concrete example?
Well, at the Open Border Congress, my idea was to have a station in the Congress. And I did that. There was no space, so I took the lift, actually, the elevator. It was the only space in the place. Okay, give me this elevator. I'll turn it into a makeshift studio. And they were like, is that going to be possible? And so on and so forth. I said, just give it to me. And it was a very big space, actually, empty space. And I converted it into a studio. And that's a picture of it. I put a little bit some cozy furniture in it. And everybody, mostly all the organizations that came from Berlin, started coming out. Can we use your studio for... I said, okay, if we don't have a guest, you can use. And we found out that there was a queue of guests waiting to conduct interviews with. And this guest cuts across refugee supporters, activists from Africa, from South America, who were invited by the Congress. So we all engaged together. We asked them critical questions. We spoke with social initiators, ideas, you know. And that's the picture of those you see there. A lot of people spoke. So we had a conversation. We had a makeshift studio in that place to... that's the picture there. So that's my own idea of getting the message out, being visible. If you come to Camp Nagel, you see something like that also. We have a space now, and we're going to have a studio there to do live broadcasting and also TV production. So there are different ideas that you can put into this. It depends on how creative you are. And if you know you are not creative, there are areas you can work. What's the point having all this equipment and you don't have anything to, you know? The guys in Refugee Emancipation, I think I've contacted them quite a while. And I kept on telling them that they tried a lot, because when they started their struggle, it was a dark period in Germany when it comes to refugee struggle. But now that the situation has changed 360 degrees, first time that the Flüchtling, the migrant situation, is in the center of German and European society. In the center. Before, it used to be on the outskirts, you know. But now it's visible in the center. Politicians are dancing and jumping up and down. They are confused. They don't know what to do, in my opinion. So I tell all these refugee groups that have been fighting for years, this is the time for you to increase your momentum now before it dies down. You have experience there. We have the Voice Refugee Forum. They've been fighting for many years. So I keep on talking to all of them. Use your power now to engage. This is the time for you now. So I think let's see how things unfold in the next 6 months, because the refugee situation is very fluid. Of course, they are using military options now, which I've said months ago that is the only alternative Europe will use, the guns. Because it's always the guns. Who is the benefit from all this chaos now? There are people who benefit from it. Those in the weapons industry and the defense industry. It's the fastest growing industry in the world now. And who are these people? We all know them. Powerful. But I think pressure can come on them
if we are united, a united front can pressurize them to like, okay, this is the problem. So that's my opinion, and thank you for the question. So that's the studio there you find in Open Border. So if you go to our website, you'll find tons of information there, and you could click and ask questions.
I really like this example because it also underlines a bit what the dispute yesterday was about, or not the dispute, but also my theory on free radio as being much more than just the program, the content as such, but all the surroundings. And this also shows that the design of the studio and the way it's set up is a kind of, I wouldn't call it self-representation, but it's not some space that someone else has created for you that you enter and on this kind of, in this paternalistic attitude, and now you can use it, but it's a space that you can create yourself. And especially this virtual creation of community before actually starting to broadcast, creating the community via social media, that is also this, it's this very productive and very inspirational way of creating communities,
yeah.
Because these communities are also not based on where you're from, but what you're at,
yeah.
So what your goal is.
Yeah, it's very important. For instance, nearly all the guests that we met from other countries that came to this event were like, do you have Facebook? That's the only means of communicating. And so we shouldn't criticize Facebook so much as it is being created. Oh, they use our information, they use my data, blah, blah, blah. NSA already has your data. So just use it. Don't headache yourself about Facebook is giving them my information. If they want your information, if they want to come here now, they can come. So I'm not afraid of them because I'm not creating any problem, you know. So that's just my approach to these things. You must reach out. And the easiest way for you to reach out is the social media. We have people who don't even want to be visible. And that's why we said we cannot rely on the social media alone. We need to move towards getting people who don't come to public protest, people who are not on social media. How do we reach them? They do listen to radio, of course, in their kitchen rooms, in their living rooms and kitchen. So that's the idea that came when we said, let's do FM frequency. And we got the two major ones in Hamburg. And the outreach was the response, people calling, old women calling, blah, 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 give their contributions on how they want things to be. So that's for us, that's our approach. So cooperation is very important, and we hope we can do more things.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm Juliane from Erfurt, Radio mm-hmm. Frei.
Okay.
We are doing something similar, not quite the same as Korax does. We already had our first refugee radio show.
Mm-hmm.
There are about 15 people,
mm-hmm.
refugees, that are doing radio
mm-hmm.
now in Erfurt. And I'd like to say that it was very impressive to hear about how you did all this and who helped you. And it was very impressive to hear about it, the whole story. And I asked myself now, because this is called Refugee Radio Network.
Mm.
Is it a plan to maybe work together with little local refugee radios like maybe Korax will have and we have right now to also contribute to your show or to contribute to this website to connect all these different local?
Yeah, that's why we call it Refugee Radio Network. It's about networking with every Flüchtling initiative that we can find in Europe and Africa and the rest of the world. Yes,
We welcome. The door is, our approach is open door policy, okay? No border, no passport, no visa. If you have something you want to do, call us, write us. We are doing this. That's the way BR contacted me. I didn't know them before. They just sent me an email and called me and blah, 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 blah. I just asked them some basic questions to know what they are. And we do know, of course. So, good idea. If you have a refugee program, if you want to cooperate with us, because, of course, we cannot reach every community in the whole of Germany easily, you know, without cooperation. So if you have a program, I can contribute to your program, you can contribute to mine, we can share content and distribute together. Because this is the revolution of now. So if you are not visible in this revolution that is going on, good luck to you. So you are welcome to send us letters on what you want to do, if you want us to come. I move all the way to Malta. I can't come to Bavaria. Come on. So
I maybe tell the refugees in Erfurt about you and they will contact you.
No problem. Let them contact us. Call us from your program. I will talk to them. Talk to refugees from live in your studio with your SD. It's not a problem. On Skype, on any way we can reach them. So that's just our own way. Yes, mademoiselle.
Well, I thank you very much for your contribution or what your sharing experiences. Mm-hmm. It made me thinking very much, and thank you for that. I think FSK had luck with you because you were someone just arriving, opened the door. You opened the door and said, "I'm here, okay," and I will broadcast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And FSK was open for that.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's a problem of the relation. Then not every radio station has got the luck to have someone who just opens the door, I'm here. The problem with the radio station here in Germany have is they want to make bridges. But bridges is like you keep your distance. And what happened now, didn't need any bridge, you just opened the door, you were there. But as you said in the beginning, you empowered the people around yourself.
Mm.
So we need those door openers like you that just come in and say, "Hello, I'm here."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you for that. But you see, like I said, it's bridging the gap. You know, we are building a bridge to join together with the community and the Flüchtling, okay? And how do we bridge the gap? I think I told a story here of how I walked into NDR and asked them for... Before I went into that meeting in Verdi, I had my plan, okay? And my plan was centered around community radio. And free radio in Deutschland was most of the free community radios. So my plan was not the big ones. I know the big ones will come. I know. So my approach is, and why community radio? Because the community listens to it more than mainstream, in my opinion. Okay? So, and what are we doing with refugee radio? We are engaging with the community. That is why the approach was to approach community radios and free radios, not the mainstream one. Of course, I knew NDR will say no, I know. But they are not the only big ones. I did that to make them know that I am here. Hello, I am here and I'm going to stay here. That's just the PR that I did. It's not because I want them to... Because if I had allowed them to even, if they had said yes, we would have fought on the idea. Because one, they are government run, they are mainstream, and they will want to dictate to us on the production and everything. That I will not agree. So I approached them based on publicity only, you know, to play with them, to caricature them. That's why I approached them. And they are not the only ones. I approach a lot of big media houses. You know, so if this today they want to do something, but I'm not interested in them because I can reach
through the community radio more. It's better for me. Because people who listen to community radio are people who don't think from the box, you know? So it's an alternative, community radio. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. you said you started with a theater, right? Mm. That is nice.
Yeah.
Why didn't you then simply go on with a visual way like doing TV? We could, we are talking about radio, we are mm-hmm. radio aficionados mm-hmm. here, but yeah, why don't we do TV?
The theater takes a lot, my. It takes TV, we are doing TV, we are starting TV from next year. And it's something that production is starting from November as we speak. And it's a different kind of TV program that you've not seen before. Okay, I don't want to give the details for now. But I can assure you it's something that they've not seen before in German media. And it's something that will critique a lot of what is going on, you know. So theater was good. It appealed to a certain group of people, but it wasn't enough. And it's not easy, I can assure you. It's a very difficult terrain, putting the artists together, and it was really, really difficult. It takes a lot. But, you know, we premiered it 3 times in Germany, premiered it 2 times in Italy, and so it's not easy with moving around with the artists, the group, because different people have different things they are doing. The last time we had to fly in guys from Italy, all of them are refugees actually. So, and it was good. We mix a lot of things into it, the present day struggle, the reasons why people are coming in. So the theater was interesting, but to continue it, it's quite difficult, you know, in my opinion. It's a very, very difficult area, the theater, it is. But why not? We mix everything together. We are trying to produce a radio play now of the theater. We want to take it into radio. So I think from there on we can... That is what I want to really do now. I want to take this real life experience into the radio and use it as an interaction between the listener and the radio. And I think it's gonna work, but I don't want to give the details until it's out. So that is my opinion on that. So that's a picture of the theater when we did it last time at the museum in Hamburg. Students came, 240 like students from different schools came, and it really critiqued a lot of what is going on. So a lot of sad stories. I think we did this in April, and we showed some images of young kids who had died in the Mediterranean floating on beaches in Libya and in Italy. Just exactly what you saw with that little kid. But nobody cared. But the occurrence of it all changed the whole situation. So we continue this work, we continue it. And we were working with German actors also, student actors. And that is Leo. He's, I think maybe FSK people will know him. So it's a mixture of tradition, culture, and present day struggle in it. It's quite a rich story. It's titled The Lampedusans. So we had to put in, because the question of why do they come is always there. Why can't you just stay in your country? So we inserted this protest into it. This is the protest of the 200 plus girls that were kidnapped in Nigeria by Islamist extremists. Up till today, we have not seen them. Nobody knows what's going on. So we put the campaign also into the theater, which is Bring Back Our Girls. And we also put the Lampedusan struggle there, mixed with real life experience. So theater is quite not easy. It takes a lot, especially if it's not European theater, you know.
Grow.
Yeah, it does. So that is for now. Any further questions? Thank you very much.